Lord Bishop, set the crown upon his head.
God save King Henry of that name, the sixth.
God save King Henry of that name, the sixth.
Now, Governor of Paris, take your oath. That you elect no other king but him, esteem none friends but such as are his friends, and none your foes but such as shall pretend malicious practices against his state. This shall ye do, so help you, righteous God.
This shall I do, so help me, righteous God.
Gracious sovereign, as I rode from Calais to haste unto your coronation, a letter was delivered to my hands, writ to your grace from the Duke of Burgundy.
Shame to the Duke of Burgundy and thee. I vowed, base knight, when I did meet thee next, to tear a garter from thy craven's leg. Which I have done. Because unworthily thou wast installed in that high degree. Pardon me, princely Henry, and the rest. This dastard, at the Battle of Patay, when but in all I was 6,000 strong, and that the French were almost 10-1, before we met or that a stroke was given, like to a trusty squire, did run away. In which assault we lost 1,200 men. Myself and divers gentlemen beside were there surprised and taken prisoners. Then judge, great lords, if I have done amiss, or whether that such cowards ought to wear this ornament of knighthood, yea or no.
To say the truth, this fact was infamous, and ill beseeming any common man, much more a knight, a captain, and a leader.
When first this order was ordained, my lords, knights of the garter were of noble birth. Valiant and virtuous, full of haughty courage, such as were grown to credit by the wars. Not fearing death nor shrinking for distress, but always resolute in most extremes. He then that is not furnished in this sort doth but usurp the sacred name of knight, profaning that most honorable order, and should, if I were worthy to be judged, to be quite degraded like a hedge-born swain that doth presume to boast of gentle blood.
Stain to thy countrymen. Thou hear'st thy doom. Be packing, therefore, thou that wast a knight. Henceforth we banish thee on pain of death. And now, my Lord Protector, view the letter sent from our uncle, Duke of Burgundy.
What means his grace that he hath changed his style? No more but plain and bluntly to the king? Hath he forgot he is his sovereign? Or doth this churlish superscription pretend some alteration in goodwill? What's here? I have, upon a special cause, moved with compassion of my country's rack, together with the pitiful complaints of such as your oppression feeds upon, forsaken your pernicious faction, and joined with Charles, the rightful King of France. Oh, monstrous treachery! Can this be so? That in alliance, amity, and oath there should be found such false dissembling guile!
What, doth my uncle Burgundy revolt?
He doth, my lord, and is become your foe.
Is that the worst this letter doth contain?
It is the worst. And all my lord, he writes.
Why then, Lord Talbot there shall talk with him and give him chastisement for this abuse. My lord, how say you? Are you not content?
Content, my liege, yes, but that I'm prevented. I should have begged I might have been employed.
Then gather strength and march unto him straight. Let him perceive how ill we brook his treason and what offense it is to flout his friends.
I go, my lord, in heart desiring still you may behold confusion in your foes.
Grant me the combat, gracious sovereign.
Me, my lord, grant me the combat too.
This is my servant. Hear him, noble prince.
And this is mine, sweet Henry. Favor him.
Be patient, lords, and give them leave to speak. Say, gentlemen, what makes you thus exclaim, and wherefore crave you combat, or with whom?
With him, my lord, for he hath done me wrong.
And I with him, for he hath done me wrong.
What is that wrong whereof you both complain? First let me know, and then I'll answer you.
Crossing the sea from England into France, this fellow here, with envious carping tongue, upbraided me about the rose I wear, saying the sanguine colour of the leaves did represent my master's blushing cheeks, when stubbornly he did repugn the truth about a certain question in the law, argued betwixt the Duke of York and him, in confutation of which a rude approach, and in defence of my lord's worthiness, I crave the benefit of law of arms.
And that is my petition, noble lord. For though he seem with forged quaint conceit to set a gloss upon his bold intent, yet know, my lord, I was provoked by him, and he first took exceptions at this badge, pronouncing that the paleness of this flower bewrayed the faintness of my master's heart.
Will not this malice, Somerset, be left?
Your private grudge, my lord of York, will out, though ne'er so cunningly you smother it.
Lord, what madness rules in brain-sick men, when for so slight and frivolous a cause such factious emulation shall arise. Good cousins, both of York and Somerset, quiet yourselves, I pray, and be at peace.
Let this dissension first be tried by fight, and then your highness shall command a peace.
The quarrel toucheth none but us alone. Betwixt ourselves let us decide it then.
There is my pledge. Accept it, Somerset.
Nay, let it rest where it began at first.
Confirm it so, mine honorable lord.
Confirm it so! Confounded be your strife, and perish you with your audacious prate. Presumptuous vassals! Are you not ashamed with this immodest, clamorous outrage to trouble and disturb the king and us? And you, my lords, methinks you do not well to bear with their perverse objections, much less to take occasion from their mouths to raise a mutiny betwixt yourselves. Let me persuade you, take a better course.
It grieves his highness. Could my lords be friends?
Come hither, you that would be combatants. Henceforth, I charge you, as you love our favor, quite to forget this quarrel and the cause. And you, my lords. Remember where we are. In France, amongst a fickle, wavering nation. If they perceive dissension in our looks and that within ourselves we disagree, how will their grudging stomachs be provoked to willful disobedience and rebel? What infamy will there arise when foreign princes shall be certified that for a toy, a thing of no regard, King Henry's peers and chief nobility destroyed themselves and lost the realm of France? Oh, think upon the conquest of my father, my tender years, and let us not forego that for a trifle that was bought with blood. Let me be umpire in this doubtful strife. I see no reason. If I wear this rose, that anyone should therefore be suspicious, I'm more inclined to Somerset than York. Both are my kinsmen, and I love them both. As well may they upbraid me with my crown, because forsooth the King of Scots is crowned. But your discretions better can persuade than I am able to instruct or teach. And therefore, as we hither came in peace, so let us still continue peace and love. Cousin of York, we institute your grace to be our regent in the parts of France. And, good my lord of Somerset, unite your troops of horsemen with his bands of foot. And like true subjects, sons of your progenitors, go cheerfully together and digest your angry choler on your enemies. Ourself, my lord protector, and the rest, after some respite, will return to Calais. From thence to England, where I hope ere long to be presented by your victories with Charles, Alençon, and that traitorous rout.
I promise you the king prettily, methought, did play the orator.
And so he did. But yet I like it not, in that he wears the badge of Somerset.
That was but his fancy. Blame him not. I dare presume, sweet prince, he thought no harm.
And if I wist he did. But let it rest. Other affairs must now be managed.
Well didst thou, Richard, to suppress thy voice. For had the passions of thy heart burst out, I fear we should have seen deciphered there more rancorous spite, more furious raging broils than yet can be imagined or supposed. But howsoe'er, no simple man that sees this jarring discord of nobility, this shouldering of each other in the court, this factious banding of their favorites, but sees it doth presage some ill event. Tis much when scepters are in children's hands, but more when envy breeds unkind division. There comes the ruin, there begins confusion.
Go to the gates of Bordeaux, trumpeter. Summon their general unto the wall.
English John Talbot, captains, calls you forth. Servant in arms to Harry, King of England. And thus he would. Open your city gates, be humble to us. Call my sovereign yours, and do him homage as obedient subjects. And I'll withdraw me and my bloody power. But if you frown upon this proffered peace, you tempt the fury of my three attendants, lean famine, quartering steel, and climbing fire, who in a moment, even with the earth, shall lay your stately and air-braving towers, if you forsake the offer of their love.
Thou ominous and fearful owl of death, our nation's terror and its bloody scourge, the period of thy tyranny approacheth. On us thou canst not enter but by death. For I protest we are well fortified and strong enough to issue out and fight. If thou retire, the dauphin well appointed stands with the snares of war to tangle thee. On either hand thee there are squadrons pitched to wall thee from the liberty of flight. And no way canst thou turn thee for redress, but death doth front thee with apparent spoil, and pale destruction meet thee in the face. 10,000 French have ta'en the sacrament to rive their dangerous artillery upon no Christian soul but English Talbot. Lo, there thou standst. A breathing, valiant man of an invincible, unconquered spirit. This is the latest glory of thy praise that I, thy enemy, due thee withal. For ere the glass that now begins to run finish the process of his sandy hour, these eyes that see thee now well colored shall see thee withered, bloody, pale, and dead. Hark! Hark, the dolphin's drum, a warning bell, sings heavy music to thy timorous soul. And mine shall ring thy dire departure out.
He fables not. I hear the enemy.
Out, some light horsemen, and peruse their wings. Oh, negligent and heedless discipline. How are we parked and bounded in a pale? A little herd of England's timorous deer, mazed with a kennel, French curs. If we be English deer, be then, in blood, not rascal-like to fall down at the pinch, but rather moody mad. And desperate stags turn on the bloody hounds with heads of steel and make the cowards stand aloof at bay. Sell every man his life as dear as mine, and they shall find dear, dear of us, my friends. God and St. George, England and England's right, prosper our colors in this dangerous fight.
Are not the speedy scouts returned again that got the mighty army of the Dolphin?
I'll return, my lord, and give it out that he has marched to Bordeaux with his power to fight with Talbot. As he marched along, by your espials were discovered two mightier troops than that the Dolphin led, which joined with him and made their march for Bordeaux.
A plague upon that villain Somerset! That thus delays my promised supply of horsemen that were levied for this siege. Renowned Talbot doth expect my aid, and I am louted by a traitor villain and cannot help the noble chevalier. God comfort him in this necessity. If he miscarry, farewell wars in France.
Our princely leader of our English strength, never so needful on the earth of France. Spur to the rescue of the noble Talbot, who now is girdled with a waist of iron and hemmed about with grim destruction. To Bordeaux, warlike duke. To Bordeaux, York. Else farewell, Talbot, France and England's honor.
That Somerset, who in proud heart doth stop my cornets, were in Talbot's place. So should we save a valiant gentleman by forfeiting a traitor and a coward. Mad ire and wrathful fury makes me weep that thus we die while Remus traitors sleep.
Oh, send some succor to the distressed lord.
He dies.
We lose.
I break my warlike word. We mourn. France smiles. We lose, they daily get. All along of this vile traitor, Somerset.
Then God take mercy on brave Talbot's soul. And on his son, young John, who 2 hours since I met in travel toward his warlike father. This 7 years did not Talbot see his son. And now they meet where both their lives are done.
Alas, what joy shall noble Talbot have to bid his young son welcome to his grave. Away, vexation almost stops my breath. That sundered friends greet in the hour of death. Lucy, farewell. No more my fortune can but curse the cause. I cannot aid the man.
Maine, Blois, Poitiers, and Tours are won away.
Long all of Somerset. And his delay!
Thus, while the vulture of sedition feeds in the bosom of such great commanders, sleeping neglection doth betray to loss the conquest of our scarce cold conqueror, that ever-living man of memory, Henry V. Whilst they each other cross, lives, honors, lands, and all, hurry to loss.
It is too late. I cannot send them now. This expedition was by York and Talbot too rashly plotted. Your daring Talbot hath sullied all his gloss of former honor by this unheedful, desperate, wild adventure. York set him on to fight and die in shame. That Talbot dead, great York might bear the name.
Here is Sir William Lucy, who with me set from our o'ermatched forces forth for aid.
How now, Sir William? Whither were you sent?
Whither, my lord? From bought and sold Lord Talbot, who ringed about with bold adversity, cries out for noble York and Somerset to beat her saving death from his weak legions. And whilst the honorable captain there drops bloody sweat from his war-wearied limbs and in advantage lingering looks for rescue, you, his false hopes, the trust of England's honor, keep off aloof with worthless emulation. Let not your private discord keep away the levied succors that should lend him aid. Whilst he, renowned noble gentleman, yield up his life unto a world of odds. Orleans the bastard, Charles Burgundy, Alanson, Rainier compass him about. And Talbot perisheth by your default.
York set him on. York should have sent him aid.
And York, as fast upon your grace exclaims, swearing that you withhold his levied horse collected for this expedition.
York lies. He might have sent and had the horse. I owe him little duty and less love, and take foul scorn to fawn on him by sending.
The fraud of England, not the force of France, hath now entrapped the noble-minded Talbot. Never to England shall he bear his life, but dies, betrayed to fortune by your strife.
Come, go, I will dispatch the horsemen straight. Within 6 hours they will be at his side.
Too late, God's rescue, he is ta'en or slain. For fly he could not. If he would have fled, and fly would Talbot never, though he might.
If he be dead, brave Talbot, then adieu.
His fame lives in the world, his shame in you.
A Talbot!
A Talbot! A Talbot!
A
Young John Talbot, I did send for thee to tutor thee in stratagems of war, that Talbot's name might be in thee revived. But, oh, malignant and ill-boding stars, now thou art come unto a feast of death, a terrible and unavoided danger. Therefore, dear boy, mount on my swiftest horse, and I'll direct thee how thou shalt escape by sudden flight. Come, dally not, be gone!
Is my name Talbot? And am I your son, and shall I fly? Oh, if you love my mother, dishonor not her honorable name to make a bastard and a slave of me. The world will say he is not Talbot's blood that basely fled when noble Talbot stood.
Fly to revenge my death if I be slain.
He that flies so will ne'er return again.
If we both stay, we both are sure to die.
Then let me stay, and father, do you fly. Your loss is great, so your regard should be. My worth unknown, no loss is known in me. Upon my death, the French can little boast. In yours they will. In you, all hopes are lost. Flight cannot stain the honor you have won, but mine it will, that no exploit have done. You fled for vantage. Everyone will swear. But if I bow, they'll say it was for fear. There is no hope that ever I will stay if the first hour I shrink and run away. Here on my knee I beg mortality rather than life preserved with infamy.
Shall all thy mother's hopes lie in one tomb?
Aye, rather than I'll shame my mother's womb.
Upon my blessing, I command thee, go.
To fight I will, but not to fly the foe.
Part of thy father may be saved in thee.
No part of him but will be shamed in me.
Thou never hadst renown, nor canst not lose it.
Yes, your renowned name shall flight abuse it.
Thy father's charge shall clear thee of that stain.
You cannot witness for me being slain. If death be so apparent, then both fly.
And leave my followers here to fight and die? My age was never tainted with such shame.
And shall my youth be guilty of such blame? No more can I be severed from your side than can yourself in twain divide. Stay, go, do what you will, the like do I. For live I will not if my father die.
Then here I take my leave of thee, fair son, born to eclipse thy life this afternoon. Come, side by side, together live and die, and soul with soul, from France to heaven, fly.
St. George and victory! Fight, soldiers, fight! The regent hath with Talbot broke his word and left us to the rage of France! Disorder!
Leave the battle boy and fly. Now thou art sealed, the son of chivalry. Fly to revenge my death when I am dead. The help of one stands me in little stead. Oh, too much folly is it, well I wot, to hazard all our lives in one small boat. If I today die not with Frenchman's rage, tomorrow I shall die with mickle age. By me they nothing gain, and if I stay, 'tis but the shortening of my life one day. In thee, my mother dies, our household name, my death's revenge, thy youth, and England's fame. All these, and more we hazard by thy stay, all these are saved, if thou wilt fly away.
The sword of Orleans hath not made me smart. These words of yours draw life-blood from my heart. On that advantage, fought with such a shame, to save a paltry life and slay bright fame. Before young Talbot from old Talbot fly, the coward horse that bears me fall and die. like me to the peasant boys of France, to be shame, scorn, and subject of mischance. Surely, by all the glory you have won, and if I fly, I am not Talbot's son. Then talk no more of flight, for 'tis no boot. Son to Talbot, die at Talbot's foot.
Then follow thou thy desperate sire of Crete. Thou, Icarus, thy life to me is sweet. If thou wilt fight, fight by thy father's side. And commendable proved. Let's die in pride. Bloody sword he brandished over me, and like a hungry lion did commence rough deeds of rage and stern impatience. But when my angry guardian stood alone, tendering my ruin, and assailed of none, with dizzy-eyed fury and great rage of heart, suddenly made him from my sight to start to the clustering battles of the French, and in that sea of blood, my boy, to trench his overmounting spirit, and there died my Icarus, my blossom, in his pride.
Oh, my dear Lord, lo, where your son is born.
Oh, antique death, which laughs us here to scorn. Anon, from thy insulting tyranny, coupled in bonds of perpetuity, two Talbots, winged through the liver sky, in thy despite, shall escape mortality. Oh, thou, whose wounds become hard-favored death, speak to thy father, ere thou yield thy breath. This brave death, by speaking whether he will or no, imagine him a Frenchman as my foe. Poor boy, he smiles, methinks, as who should say, had death been French, then death had died today. Come, come, lay him in his father's arms. My spirit can no longer bear these arms. Soldiers, adieu. I have what I would have. Thou, my old arms, I am John Talbot. Hey.
Had York and Somerset brought rescue in, we should have found a bloody day of this.
Oh, the young whelp of Talbot's raging woods did flesh his puny sword in Frenchman's blood.
Doubtless he would have made a noble knight. See where he lies. Nursed in the arms of the most bloody nurser of his harms.
Hew them to pieces. Hack their bones asunder. Whose life was England's glory, Gallia's wonder?
Oh, no, forbear. For that which we have fled during the life, let us not wrong it dead.
Back into the Dauphin's tent to know who has obtained the glory of the day.
On what submissive message art thou sent?
Submission, Dauphin? 'Tis a mere French word. We English warriors wot not what it means. I come to know what prisoners thou hast ta'en, and to survey the bodies of the dead.
For prisoners, ask thou? Hell our prison is. But tell me whom thou seekest.
Where's the great Alcides of the field? Valiant Lord Talbot, Earl of Shrewsbury. Created for his rare success in arms. Great Earl of Washford, Waterford and Valence. Lord Talbot of Goodbury and Urchinfield. Lord Strange of Blackmere, Lord Verdun of Alton. Cromwell of Wingfield, Furnival of Sheffield, the thrice victorious Lord of Falconbridge, Knight of the Noble Order of St. George, worthy St. Michael and the Golden Fleece, great Marshal to Henry the VI of all his wars within the realm of France.
Him that thou magnifiest with all these titles, stinking and fly-blown, lies here at our feet.
Is Talbot slain? Oh, where mine eyeballs into bullets turned, that I in rage might shoot them at your faces. Oh, but could I but call these dead to life, it were enough to fright the realm of France. Where but his picture left amongst you here, it would amaze the proudest of you all. Give me their bodies, that I bear them hence and give them burial as beseems their worth.
God's sake, let him have them. To keep them here, they would but stink and putrefy the air.
Go, take their bodies hence.
I'll bear them hence. But from their ashes shall be reared a phoenix that shall make all France afeard.
So we be rid. Do with them what thou wilt.
Success unto our valiant general, and happiness to his accomplices.
What tidings send our scouts? I prithee speak.
The English army that divided was into two parties is now conjoined in one and means to give you battle presently.
Somewhat too sudden, says the warning is. But we will presently provide for them.
I trust the ghost of Talbot is not there. Now he is gone, my lord, you need not fear.
Of all base passions, fear is most accursed. Command the conquest, Charles, it shall be thine. Let Henry fret and all the world repine.
Then on, my lords, and France be fortunate.